Everybody's looking at the church at the moment as it implodes and wondering where is it going to go to next. And one of the things that seems to be missing from that is any talk about ministry itself rather than just the priesthood or the deaconate, because people are clearly called to all sorts of different roles and the laity will have to play a much larger part. But rather than focusing on all that kind of area or ministry in general, we seem to be still fixated on the whole priesthood issue and talking about how exclusive it is and that it is still restricted to males. And I think that's just a very narrow conversation.
Yeah, and I mean, the title of your book, What About Me, you know, and you have three women on a scale against one man. You know, I mean, is that something that resonates with you personally? Obviously, to put me in a title of a book, is that something that you thought about and that you felt shut out from?
Well, I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. I mean, the book is written for all the other women who feel the same as I do and who ask the same kind of questions and wonder why does it seem reasonable to exclude people because of their gender. We are supposedly moving on beyond that, except of course in the Catholic Church, but they have done that everywhere else. So while it is for all women, it does become personal.
I mean, people would say, well, this has been decided on. There's not going to be any more conversation about women. There's not going to be ordination of women. They're the rules. You like it or you leave it, I guess.
That's true. And some would say the other side of that is if it was a very good argument, then we wouldn't have to keep repeating this conversation. But it's not a very good argument when you do look into it. That would be my findings.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, well, we're very close to Bridget's day and, you know, she was supposed to have been a bishop in the church. So there's certainly questions around the ordination of women and whether they may have been ordained in the past and when that stopped.
Well, definitely in the very early church, which is the closest time to Jesus. If you look at Paul, who was very involved in the early church, clearly from his letters, women were very much involved. And not only that, it was men, women, married, single. And it seemed to be all about ministry. Whereas I feel now the priesthood is all about the male gender, which is a very different kind of, that's not a ministry in my view.
Yeah, I mean, will it get to the stage, I mean, they're looking now at the diaconate and there is maybe they've brought in married male diaconate and maybe there's some question of a female diaconate. Would that be enough?
No, and I know Phyllis Segarra has said that the diaconate is not related to the priesthood. And while technically that is true, it is related in terms of the fact that the Vatican are very reluctant to have women in any kind of ministry. And this commission has simply looked at what roles did women deacons do. Now, they didn't do that for the male diaconate. And women deacons were very clearly there in the early church. So I think there's a kind of a warning when they're just asking, well, what did women do? They're not actually asking the question yet as to whether they can restore the diaconate to women. And I think there's a signal there because there seems to be reluctance would be one word, but it's actually much stronger than that. I would say from my research that the antipathy towards women in ministry is so strong that they will overlook all the reasonable arguments to support women in ministry, sadly.
You know, when you think of it, when you go to any church event or if you go to Mass, it tends to be largely women who are in attendance. So, I mean, why aren't the women either being more forceful or going on strike or just stopping going to Mass until this issue is resolved? Because, I mean, as long as women are still going to Mass and still taking part in the ceremonies and still baptizing their children, it's not an issue. You know, it's not enough of an issue for anybody to want to make a change.
Well, that's what I thought, and it was something I really wondered about. However, I went to a lot of talks and presentations and all sorts of different things when I was researching the book, and what was interesting was at almost every talk I went to, some woman stood up and said that they were in a dilemma. And the dilemma was that they disagreed strongly with the views held by the church. They disagreed strongly with the way they handled child abuse, and they had many disagreements about the exclusion of women. However, they also had faith, and they saw faith as a bigger thing than the church institution. But they felt there was nowhere else to go with their faith. Mm. And I would say the women are in the church despite the church.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? But, you know, I mean, if you take it and you flip it over and you know, the church tomorrow says, okay, we're going to talk about this. Maybe we're even going to ordain women. They could have another problem on their hands, and they could have another group of people who are outraged and suddenly feel like they have nowhere to go with their faith.
Mm. Well, I suppose that happened in the Protestant church. So it's something that you will always have people who are reluctant about this. But the interesting thing is, it is interesting how in all the major religions, holy books and scriptures are used, and misused, I would say, is the proper word, to justify the exclusion of women or the lesser position of women. But it's very clear when you look into the Gospels and read them carefully and really look at what Jesus says and does around women. And you can see that he is breaking all the barriers for his time. And people will say, well, why didn't he make women apostles then or whatever? But the 12 apostles were more a sign rather than a ministry, because they represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and Jesus was coming into a Jewish context. So they're symbolical, but they're also bigger than just the male gender. Whereas if you look at the arguments about the priesthood, it is all about being male, not about ministry, not about the wider context. It is very much focused on the male gender.
And why do you think the church are lagging in this particular issue? Because when you look at all the other professions, they would have made the same arguments. You know, you look at medicine, women couldn't have been doctors, they weren't strong enough, they didn't have the intellectual capacity. You look at law, you look at tons of professions where people deem that women weren't suitable or capable of these jobs. And, you know, it's been proven wrong time and time again. And yet, you know, the final bastion, I guess, if you like, of that thinking is the church.
I think it's a power thing, sadly, because I think they made their position very clear with the child abuse and the reaction to the child abuse, in that preserving the institution comes above everything else. So that is a misuse of power. And when you've got a stance like that, there's something very wrong. So there is a huge body of misogynist writing with the church fathers when you look at some of the things they've written, and this is perpetuated in, has been down the years, in the seminaries, in the teachings, and of course when you take the whole issue of celibacy, to sell celibacy you have to make woman the enemy. So we're not going to come out of it well when you're trying to do that. And of course, celibacy was not a command laid down by Jesus either, or St. Paul.
I mean, St. Peter had a mother-in-law, didn't he? You know,
absolutely. Yeah. They, at the time, St. Paul was kind of, well, they all thought the end of the world was coming. And he more or less said, well, it's not something you should be worrying about at this point, whether you're celibate or whether you're not. Whatever you're called to do, be married, single, that's up to you.
Yeah. We have bigger, much more pressing concerns. Going back to the point about women, you know, leaving the church or starting their own movement, if you look at people like Martin Luther, there were people who felt strongly enough that things just weren't right enough that they set up their own church. And it's interesting to kind of think that there really aren't that many churches, I can't think of any off the top of my head, that have been set up by women, or religions that have been set up by women. So why isn't there a counter movement of women just saying, well, do you know what, you keep your religion, we're going to have our own religion?
I think that will actually come. And according to Mary T. Malone, she's written a lot about women and Christianity, and her findings are that it is starting to happen, and that women are praying together, or they're going to communities of nuns or this sort of thing. Now, they still go to Mass because it suits them, or they want to go, or they still like to go. But having that same adherence and loyalty to the church that was there before, there's definitely an erosion in that.
And so do you have faith that things will change? I mean, you were talking about faith and the faith that women have, and, you know, that their faith is stronger in many ways than the issues. Do you have faith in that, or are you going to be one of those people pioneering your own prayer group?
I don't feel called to do that kind of thing. My interests lie in, I feel you should know what you're signing up to. And I felt very strongly about women not really knowing half the things that was said about them, thought about them, where such deep-seated feelings came from, what can they attribute it to. And I suppose I was reassured, for want of a better word, that so much of it is man-made. I mean, that's sad in another way, but it is good to know that it didn't come from scriptures, it didn't come from the gospels, that was quite different to what we've ended up with today.